Friend, let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now, it's been a while since we've looked at the question series. We've been going through looking at questions that God asked to sinners directly. And the next question we come to tonight is God's question to Joshua. We find it in Joshua 1, verse 9. And the Lord said this in verse 9. He says, "Hath not I commanded thee?" Have not I commanded thee? Now, the children of Israel are at the border of Canaan. But God wouldn't allow Moses to take them into Canaan. Moses is dead. And so Joshua is the one God raised up to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. Now, what we're going to see here in this is there's a beautiful picture here. And what we're going to see here is supported the truth that we believe and rejoice in, that it's not by law, not by our doing, not by our keeping the law, but by the Lord Jesus Christ that His people are saved and that we're delivered into that promised inheritance that God has promised. This is what we're going to see pictured here. Now, the first thing we see, let's go back up to verse 1, and the first thing we see is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's the end of the law. Now let's read verses 1 and 2. He says, "Now after the death of Moses, who was the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." Joshua served under Moses. "And he said," the Lord said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now, in this text, we see Moses. When we look at Moses, we see the law. And we look at Joshua, we see Jesus the Lord. Joshua, that name means Jesus. They're interchangeable. It means Savior. That's what his name means. We know from John 1:17, it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the son of Nun here, Joshua is the son of Nun. And I've showed you many times that the names mean something. You look the names up. Well, Nun means posterity. That means generation. And Jesus Christ, our Joshua, is the son of that chosen generation that God shall save. He's the firstborn son of that chosen generation. That's who Christ is. And Joshua here was Moses' minister. That means he served under Moses. Christ came and served under the law. But you notice here, "Moses, my servant, is dead now." And now he calls Joshua to lead them. Now, Moses was the servant of God to teach the children of Israel some sure and certain things and bring them to a certain point. That was Moses' office. That's what God gave him to do. Well, the law is the servant of God. The law is given to teach each of his children something very sure and certain and bring us to a certain point. Look over at Galatians 3 and verse 23. "Before faith came, we were kept under the law." Now that literally applies to the Jews, but it applies to us too, because before faith came, before God gave us faith, before Christ, who is the faithful one, came, you and I, most everyone, thinks that you come to God by the law. And we were under the curse. We were under the curse of the law. We were shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed, Christ the faithful. "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You see, the law was the servant of God. And then Romans 3, you're familiar with this, Romans 3. You might want to hold your place in Galatians. We're going to kind of go back and forth between Galatians and Romans. Romans 3:19. Now we know What things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now here's how the law's a servant, like Moses was a servant. Here's how the law's a servant. The law teaches, when God makes you hear the law, He teaches you that every mouth may be stopped. He shuts our mouth with the law, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, now, in our text, Moses is now dead. And God's going to deliver the children of Israel into the land by Joshua. He said to Joshua, now, my servant's dead, now therefore you arise and you take them into this land I've promised. It's through Joshua alone. Moses had nothing to do with it. Joshua alone's going to take them in there, and God's going to rule His children through Joshua. And Moses had nothing to say, nothing to do about it. Well, by Christ's death and His resurrection, not only is the believer dead to the law because we died in Christ, but the law is dead to the believer. Look at Romans 7. That's exactly what Paul was teaching there in Romans chapter 7. He was showing that, he gave that illustration of a woman being married to a husband. And he said she's married to that husband as long as that husband lives. But if the husband's dead, she's free to be married to another. That law was our husband, our first husband. But now look at what he says here in Romans 7, verse 4. He says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So we're dead to the law because we died when Christ died. That is, all God's elect died in Christ when Christ died. And so we became dead to the law. That you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now look at verse 6. He says, and now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. Our old body of sin is dead, and the law that held us is dead to us. Now, understand what that means. He says here now that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You can't go to the letter of the law and learn the things that you're going to learn from the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, who are teaching us directly from Christ, and they're teaching us the spirit of what true obedience is. There's things that we saw in Ephesians you're not going to learn by going to the letter of the law and look at them. It doesn't have mercy in it. It doesn't have that at all. And the newness of spirit we serve in is full of love and mercy. And the letter of the law didn't have that in it. Now, were they led of Joshua now, or are they led of Moses now? Which one's leading them now, Joshua or Moses? Joshua is. Well, are we led by the Spirit of Christ, or are we led by the Spirit of, or by the letter of the law? The Scripture says if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, how foolish would it be for the children of Israel to go back and look for Moses' grave and try to dig up the body of Moses and say, we want you to lead us and be our ruler? That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Well, that's how foolish it is for a believer that's been brought to Christ, to rest in Christ, to trust Christ, to then be taught to go back to Mount Sinai, back to the letter of the law, to be led of the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's holy, it's just, and it's good. And we can learn from the law, but we need to be taught through the Spirit of Christ teaching us in our hearts, because we're not under the law. The law has nothing else to say to us. Christ gave it everything it demanded. He gave it perfect righteousness, and He did it from a holy heart. And he fulfilled it in precept and penalty, so that it has nothing to say to the believer. We're righteous in Christ. Righteous in Christ. So, listen to this. Now, after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? That's what was happening at Galatia. That's what many folks do in our day. In fact, here's where you're going to find out whether or not we're in agreement or not. 99.9% of the time when folks have a disagreement is right here in this day and time. There's folks, Christ said, if it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect. That's not free will works religion. That's obvious to us. It's folks who are preaching divine election. They're preaching the sovereignty of God. They're preaching particular redemption. They're preaching irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. But they take a man from Calvary back to Mount Sinai. They take him from Christ back to the law and say, now, but you got to sanctify yourself by your deeds to the law. And you get so holy and so holy and so holy that you just smoke better than everybody. And that's just not what the Scriptures teach us, brethren. That's not true sanctification. Christ is made unto us sanctification. And the more light you have shining in that condemned room, the more you see how condemned that room is. And the more that Christ, the light, shines in our heart, the more we see how truly condemned this body of death is, and we don't trust it. We see we grow down. That's growing up with God. We grow to trust Christ more and ourselves less. That's true growth in grace. But we're holy from the beginning when He sanctifies us. Now, so this is what we're seeing here. He said over in Galatians 3 there, he finished that out. I'll just read this to you. He said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's true of every believer. All right, that's the first thing we see now. The first part of this commandment that the Lord gave to Joshua, picture of Christ, is now you arise and you take the people. Moses is dead. The law's dead. The law said, you're delivering my people. And that was the charge given to Christ in eternity. He's the deliverer. He's the one that's bringing his people into that land of promise. Now, secondly, it's by Christ, it's not by the law, that God promises to give each of his people an inheritance. Now, look at verse 3. Everything that God's elect Israel are going to receive from God was first given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua 3:3. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. The Lord said this to Joshua. Every place you're going to go, I've given this to you. He's a picture of Christ. And he says, as I said unto Moses, he said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. He's speaking directly to Joshua. It's by God's covenant promise to Christ that the inheritance belongs to Christ. It's by Christ's purchased redemption, that purchase price he paid with his blood, that the inheritance belongs to Christ. And it's by the fact that Christ arose from the dead and laid claim on that inheritance, that inheritance belongs to Christ. It's his. And now here's the good news for you and me. Christ shall divide that inheritance with everybody that he delivers. He's going to divide that inheritance with each of his people that he brings to salvation, to glory with him. Look at this now. It's because God was in Christ and defeated all our enemies. Look here, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The Christ knew he'd have to be forsaken on the cross, but he was bearing our sins when he did that. But he was fulfilling the will of God. He was making an end of transgression. He was bringing in everlasting righteousness. He was redeeming his people from the curse. And so he knew that the Lord would not leave him. The Lord would justify him. That's what he said in Isaiah 50 and verse 7. He said, the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Now you think about that. When the Lord went to the cross, when he says that, you know, he trusted the Lord, we know the Son of God raised himself from the dead, and we know God the Father raised him, but what we see here is how much Christ trusted, as the servant of God, how much he trusted the Father to fulfill the Father's side of the covenant. It teaches us the faithfulness of God our Father. He raised Christ. Christ arose. It shows the faithfulness of him. And it showed how perfectly Christ trusted the Father. I don't know how to say this exactly, but I do know this. Our faith is imperfect. Our faith's not perfect. It's very weak at best. And even Christ is even the faith of our faith. Even while he was going to that cross to justify his people from all sin, Christ was at the same time trusting the Father in perfect fidelity to the Father. So he's our righteousness, and he's the faith of our faith. And we're going to receive this inheritance from Christ because God promised Christ he'd divide it. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Do you see the picture there? He gave it to Joshua, and he told Joshua, now you're going to divide it to the people. That's what God did with his son, the Lord Jesus. The inheritance is his, and he divides it with his people. And here's why it's certain. It's because God did this in covenant with Christ, and he promised this to Abraham. Look at verse 6. At the end, he said, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, the New Testament text I want to show you is Romans 8. Romans 8, and look at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now look at verse 17. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. Isn't that something? An heir of God. Now look at this. And joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That means the inheritance belongs to him, and he's dividing it with those that he's made righteous before God. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Our inheritance, brethren, it's more than me and you can imagine, because our inheritance is God himself. It's Christ our Lord is our inheritance. To dwell with him forever and to have him to dwell with us forever, I don't even know. It just goes beyond me to think about it, but that's going to be our inheritance. The Lord's portion is his inheritance is his people, and our inheritance is him. Enough. Nobody cares about going to care about gold. If anything, you pay the streets with that worthless stuff. We're going to have Christ. Christ. That's the inheritance. All right, now here's the third thing. All of this is because Christ fulfilled the law of God and all the prophets and made it honorable, made the whole Word of God honorable. Everything God showed, foreshadowed in the law of Moses, and everything that the prophets wrote of Christ, Christ fulfilled it all. Look here now, verse 7. He tells Joshua, picture Christ, just picture God speaking to Christ here. Be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's exactly what Christ did. That's what he came to do, and that's what he did. The Lord said through Isaiah, he's well pleased with his righteousness. He'll magnify the law, and he will make it honorable. That's speaking of Christ. He will magnify it. He will make it honorable. Paul told the Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. There he is, the servant, just like Joshua was the servant of Moses, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so Christ said this, I delight to do thy will, O God, thy law is within my heart. He's the only one that could say that. Adam could say that when he was first created, but Adam failed. God gave him reign to do what he would, and he failed. But now Christ is the only other man, the God-man, who could make that statement and say, I truly delight to do your will, because you and I come forth sinners, and we can't say that. We come forth speaking lies from our mother's womb, and we can't say that. Even now, as the Lord saved us, in our inner man, we want to obey God, but there's an old man of flesh with us that's always, constantly wanting to do everything opposite to God. That's so of me, and it's so of you. Listen to this. Now, the righteousness of God, without the law, without us touching the law, the righteousness of God is manifested, and it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. If you'll read back up in Deuteronomy 34, you'll find this, that Moses, he's a picture of the law, and Moses is a prophet. He was both. He was the law, and he was the prophet. And before this took place, you know what Moses did? He laid his hands on Joshua. And that's a picture of the law and the prophets bearing witness of Christ, that Christ is the one who's going to lead his people into the promised land. And that's who Christ is. And it says here, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and it's given to all, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. It just comes down to this. Listen to this simple verse in Romans 5. I quote it to you all the time, but I want us to get it because it just simplifies the gospel. Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. And that lets you know that it's not my obedience to the law, it's not your obedience to the law, it's Christ's obedience. It's Christ's obedience. His people had broken the law, not only the precept of it, we had broken the law and we owe justice. We owe death, eternal death. And Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he did that the promise that God made to Abraham might be given to all his people. And that is that we might receive the Spirit through faith. He would give us the Spirit and give us faith. And then through faith, he would show us what Christ has done for us. This was the promise, that we might receive the adoption of children. And so Christ said, don't think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. To fulfill it. I heard a man preaching on that text one time, and he said, see there, Christ didn't do away with the law. That means we're still under the law. That's not what he was saying. If that cup right there is filled to the point that you can't put another drop in it, it's fulfilled. And that's what Christ came to do, fill it full, to where you can't add anything to it. And that's what he did. And so, now this is what we've seen in this picture so far. Number one, we saw Christ as the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Moses is dead, Joshua's leading them in. The law, we're dead to the law, and the law's dead to us. Christ is our righteousness, and he's leading us by his Spirit. Number two, Christ is the one who's going to divide our inheritance to us. It was given to him, he's going to give it to his people. And number three, it's because Christ magnified and made God's law honorable. He's our righteousness. That's why this is going to come to pass. Now, here's the last thing. Now, Joshua is a sinner like me and you. And God's speaking to him just like he's speaking to us tonight, I hope. So what about that? What about that? Well, in that, we see this. Who was it that was talking to Joshua? Who was it that was teaching Joshua all this? It's the Son of God. God the Father gave the whole thing into his hand to bring his people to himself, that he might glorify the Father and glorify the Son in this whole work. And Christ here, speaking to Joshua, he's the one that makes the word effectual in Joshua's heart. And so now, let's look at it this way. Christ speaking to you and me, making this word effectual in our heart, teaching us. Here's the first thing. We can't do anything of ourselves. We can't teach ourselves. We can't give ourselves life. We have to be taught spiritually of him. Now, here's the first thing. He's going to teach us and reveal to us that he's the righteousness of God. And by that, he's going to command faith in us. Here's what he's going to teach us from Romans 10. I want you to look at this, Romans 10, especially our young people. Romans 10. Here's what he's going to command us right here. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That means you got to perfectly fulfill over 600 laws in spirit, in thought, word, and deed, from a pure heart, and if you don't, you got to die under the curse of it. Now that's how a man will live if he can do that. Christ's the only one that ever did it. He's the only one that ever did it. But now look here. But verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I love that. We think by nature you work unto righteousness. You work to obtain righteousness. Nope, you believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Now back in our text, back up there in Joshua 1:2, this is what he commanded Joshua right here. Verse 2. Now then, my servant Moses is dead. Now, arise and come over unto the land I give thee. And that's exactly what Christ commands us in our hearts. The law's fulfilled, you come over to the land that I'm going to give you. What's our inheritance? Christ. You come to me, Christ said, the land I'm going to give you. It wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that the righteousness of Christ was imputed to him, but to us also who, to whom the righteousness of Christ shall be imputed if we believe on Christ. He says, as he commanded this in your heart, you come over to me. Come over to me. All right? Then he commands faith by making this promise in our hearts. Look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Has Christ commanded that promise in your heart? He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Who's going to lay anything to your charge? There won't be a man able to stand before you. We just sang that song. They may kill the body, but the truth of God abideth still. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of Christ. That's what he teaches us in our heart. And then Christ commands faith for his child to obey and follow him by commanding a hunger in our hearts to obey Christ, believing him and looking and following him by looking into every word in this book right here. Look at verse 8. This is what Christ commands in our heart. This book of the law, that means everything from one page, from the first page to the last page, is God's word. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He didn't say it'd be a good idea now if you didn't let it depart out of your mouth. He said it won't. It shall not depart out of your mouth. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Don't you want to obey God? Don't you? In Christ we've obeyed him perfectly. And by his grace working in our hearts, he continually causes us to seek him in his word, to seek him in his gospel, to follow him, and he keeps strengthening our faith by commanding us. This word's not going to depart out of your mouth. What's that mouth connected to? He said, what's coming out of the mouth is coming from the heart. It's because he's given us a new heart. And he says, now, it's not going to depart from you. The gospel. All right, then to make his word effectual in us personally, Christ speaks into our heart personally. And this is what he says to us, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? Have not I, your God, your Lord, and your Savior, have not I commanded, have not I spoke effectually and invincibly in your heart and made promises to you that nobody but your Savior could make to you? Have not I commanded thee, my everlastingly loved child? This is our confidence. This is our hope. This is where faith, you know Ephesians 2, and it says, he's faith is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Well, how does he give faith? He commands you personally in your heart. He commands faith. And when he commands it, you got it. When he puts the word in your heart and says, this word shall not depart out of your heart, you got a new heart. And when he says, follow me, you follow him. It's because he commanded me. And here's his promise. This is the sum and substance of the whole promise that he makes to us right here. Verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. That's a tall order if we left to ourselves, isn't it? Well, he don't leave us to ourselves. Here's the reason he says all of these things. Because the Lord, thy God, the Lord, thy God, is with thee. He's with you. Whithersoever thou goest. If you're down at Todd Road Grace Church and you're sitting under his gospel worshiping down here, or if your job brings you up here to New Jersey and you're sitting here with folks you don't know all that well, worshiping with them, he said, I'm with you wherever you go. That's our confidence. That's what he's commanded us. That's why he says, now you go forth, follow me. I've commanded you. Amen.